Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, first of all, it's good to be back here with all of you again. Thank you for being flexible last week when our whole family was out with COVID. Right, that was a nasty week. Thank you also for all of your prayers. Right, it means a lot to us to know that you guys were praying for us. And as I thought about your prayers, it seemed appropriate to me that today's gospel reading is all about prayer. Right? I mean, pretty much every Christian prays, right? It's one of those basics of the faith that we learn even when we're kids. Like, raise your hand if you pray at least every day. Yeah, right? See what I mean? According to a Pew Research Center survey from 2021, 45% of U.S. adults say that they pray on a daily basis. But why? Why do we pray? It seems to me that how you answer that question dramatically affects what you pray about, too. Right, there seem to be three different reasons why people pray. First, many people pray because they think God will listen to them and help them out. If they pray for something, then God will give it to them. They turn to passages like today's gospel reading. They hear things like ask and seek and knock. And they basically think if they pray long enough and hard enough, then God will give them what they want. They understand persistence in prayer. And that sounds great. But let's be honest. There's a few problems with that. Like, how many times have you been persistent in prayer, and yet the thing you prayed for didn't happen? Yes, I know some people might say in those moments, God might tell you no or not yet. And it's true, God's timing is not our timing. Right? Even loving parents say no to their kids sometimes. But if you think the purpose of prayer is to make God act, then the no or the not yet kind of seem like convenient excuses for when your prayer doesn't work. Another problem is that this understanding says that you, as a tiny mortal human, have the power to change the mind of God. Really? You can do that? You have that much power over God? You can control what God does and doesn't do. The outcome of the situation is completely dependent upon you and your prayers. Also, what happens if you pray for one outcome and somebody else prays for the opposite outcome? When the event finally happens and you see what the result was, does that mean God listened to one person's prayers instead of the other one? Or what happens when you pray for something, like the healing of a loved one, and they never get better? Did you not pray hard enough? Is it your fault they didn't recover? Did your prayers not work? Right? These are the questions we ask when our prayers don't seem to do anything. But this is still the first approach to prayer. We pray because we think it influences God, even though it doesn't always happen. The second approach to prayer is the complete opposite. It thinks that since prayer doesn't always work, that it's just a big old waste of time. The only reason we actually pray is just to make some other person or maybe God happy. If it were up to us, we'd just give up on prayer. feels like whispering into the wind. That's just pointless. Like if 45% of American adults pray on a daily basis, that means 55% do not. It's just not that important to them. Prayer is kind of like that class in high school that you were told was really important, but in your head you thought, when am I ever going to use this in the real world? The only reason you're in the class and doing the assignments is because somebody expects you to do it. Once the class is done, you delete it from your brain and move on because it kind of seems irrelevant. You move on to more important things. And so when you do pray, you never really give it your best. Like, for example, how many times have you rushed through a prayer? Think about the Lord's Prayer or a mealtime prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest and let us be blessed. Amen. I'll admit that's a pet peeve of mine. If you're going to rush through a prayer, don't even bother with it. If you don't respect God enough to take your time, then don't put on the show, please. And I've even seen this with other pastors. Right? When I've worshiped elsewhere, sometimes the pastor will pray so fast that I can't keep up. In my head, I was like, slow down. Take a breath. What kind of way is that to talk to God? So that's the second approach to prayer. It's a complete waste of time, and when we do it, we're just doing it to humor someone. We're just making them happy, and then we check the box and say we did it. But that approach doesn't really seem to work either, right? Because prayer is not a waste of time. It's important. Jesus himself prayed. And we hear in today's gospel reading that he taught his disciples to pray. So if Jesus thinks that it's important, then it's something we probably should do, right? So then how should we pray? And why should we pray? And what should we pray for? Well, the third approach to prayer, the better approach to prayer, is what we find in this gospel reading today. This text can be broken down into a few different sections. First, there's the Lord's Prayer. Second, there's the story of the friend at midnight. Third, there's the part about asking and seeking and knocking. And finally, there's the part about comparing humans taking care of their kids to God taking care of us. So let's put the part about the Lord's Prayer to the side for a moment and focus on the other three parts. Sometimes when people hear ask, seek, and knock, they end up treating God like a genie in a bottle who will just grant them their wishes if they just rub the lamp hard enough. But we know that's not how God works. The story of the friend at midnight sounds like if we just pester God long enough, then God will give us what we want. But we know that doesn't work either. And when we compare human parents to God, sometimes it seems like human parents take better care of their kids than God takes care of us. I mean, have you seen the state of the world? How many loving parents would let their kids act this way? So given all of this, how can Jesus be so positive about prayer? Because he begins with the Lord's Prayer. That changes how we hear these other three sections. And although we're all familiar with this prayer, just stop and pay attention to it here. We are praising God for who God is.
our Heavenly Father. We are asking that God's will be done. We're also asking that God provide for us and forgive us and protect us. Why? Because that's what loving fathers do for their kids. And herein lies the biggest assumption about prayer. If you don't remember anything else about what I say this morning, remember these next few sentences. If you don't think God is a loving father who actually cares for you, then you will think that prayer is pointless. Or if you don't think God is a loving father who actually cares for you, then you will think that prayer is a means of making God care for you. But if you trust what Jesus says, that God really is a loving father who actually does care for you, then your prayers will be completely different. They will not be pointless and they will not be demands. Rather, they will be expressions of love and words of thanks and cries for help and times of listening. Basically, they will be how any loving child would relate to a loving father. Prayer reminds us that God loves us and that God is still in charge. So this means prayer is not a way that we manipulate God. Prayer is also not a pointless exercise we do just because we're expected to do it. Instead, prayer is a wonderful gift that has been given to us by God. Excuse me. It is the promise that the God of all creation really does care about you and all of the things you're going through. It's the promise that God is not distant from you, but God is closer to you than any loving parent. It's the promise that God is going to work in your life whether you pray about it or not. So the point of prayer is for you to be changed so that you can see what God is already doing. But how does that connect to ask, seek, and knock? Or the story of the friend at midnight? Well, notice what Jesus said at the end of this passage. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God cares for us more than any friend or parent. And if they help us, then God certainly will. And God will happily give us the Holy Spirit when we ask, seek, and knock. Excuse me. The Holy Spirit, of course, is what helps us understand the good news. And what helps us see that God is doing great things in this world. And that asking, that persistence, is not about badgering God to give us what we want. No, it means not giving up on the gift of prayer. And not giving up on God. Because God is always here for us, ready to care for us like no other. God is always here to help us so that we can see what God is doing in this world. So let's go back to how you said you prayed for us when we were sick, or how you prayed for any of your concerns. Did you pray because you thought it would help us get over our sickness faster? Maybe. Did you pray because you wanted us to know that you cared for us? Maybe. Did you pray because that's just what Christians say to somebody who's sick? Maybe. I don't really know your motivations for prayer. But what I do know is that God loves you. And God loves those you care about. And God loves this world. And when we pray, especially prayers of help, then we are telling God that we care about people and circumstances in this world too. So we pray not to make God give us what we want, but so that God can make us do what God wants. So that God can help us take care of others and this world. So, like I said, I am grateful for your prayers. And I often pray for all of you too. Because I know that God is doing great things in this world, in this congregation, and in your lives. And I want to be a part of what God is doing. And I hope that you want that too. That's why we pray. So thank you for your prayers. In the name of the one who taught us to pray, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.